Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation, in the absence of Mr. Ryan. And we have forums for both committees, as I understand it, and we have an ambitious agenda for this morning. To avoid confusion, members, let's follow and make sure that all members have a copy of the budget agenda, because we're going to go down that agenda chronological unless there is a item of priority. Mr. Agassi, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
So the first item is not item 1-3032, and for the record, that number doesn't change regardless of what committee the item has been referred to. Bond Act Financial System Review, and from the administration, I guess Commissioner, our Chief Information Officer, Marguerite Byrne, is here.
Good morning.
Marguerite, welcome, and for the record, if you would introduce your colleagues and company.
Kate Foster, responsible for IT administration. I've worked with Tom Smith, the team leader for the financial systems.
Okay, and give us you know, how we get to this point and how we move forward, if you will.
Sure. This request, bit 8A, is for $2 million to upgrade the financial, human resource, and budget systems. It's for hardware and software replacement. The current system hardware environment is no longer supported. We're paying extended support for that equipment. Some of the features of the new system is we're moving off IBM AIX proprietary software to a Linux environment. And that alone is going to save us about $200,000 in hardware. We're also building in something we currently don't have in our financial budget and finance system is redundancy. And we're going to have a redundant system at the TMC where we have our backup data center. So we're going to have data backed up to there. And basically, we're just getting up to the latest version, 3.8, of the software. A huge component of this $2 million, it's broken up. The upgrade alone is about $650,000. We were able to negotiate about $200,000 off the price from the vendor due to aggressive negotiation by Tom and his team. And IT basically taking on more of the workload ourselves to be more independent of a vendor. And the biggest component of this is about $900,000, which is the Oracle licenses that we need to run this software and to have it at a backup location.
And you said the old equipment is no longer, what is the word, no longer?
The hardware is end of life and is on we're paying extended support to keep it up to date, and that expires this year. This will be a long process of about a year or so to upgrade it. The timing is critical. Even though we can get started now with some of it, we're not going to move. We'll get the back end set up and ready to go. But then we have budget season, so we don't want to impact the budget department upgrade during that. And then we have the end of year activities for HR, so we have to work on, you know, just the timing is just very critical on how we do this upgrade.
No longer usable, meaning we're spending a lot of money trying to utilize the old equipment, right?
We're hoping that it does, no one sneezes on it, yes.
All right. And as far as savings with this new equipment moving forward, have you able to develop any numbers on that, or we're just going state-of-the-art and...
Well, I think some of the savings is moving off the IBM environment, the proprietary system. The rest is just to keep the system up and running, and then the negotiated savings on the having it done in-house is just to build staff competency and not rely so much on a vendor for everything that needs to be done.
All right, members, I have Mr. Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're going off of IBM for this project. Have you left IBM for similar projects in the recent past?
This is the only item still on IBM environment.
So we have a company here in the county, IBM, who we have been buying from for years.
No.
And now we're stopping buying from them?
We have not purchased from them in a while. How old is the environment?
We upgraded in 2005, so we probably bought equipment like 2003.
So we haven't bought from IBM for 6 or 7 years?
That's correct.
And this is the last of the licenses?
Yes, for IBM, yes.
Okay. And you like the Unix systems because...
It's open source, easy to get support for it. It's to recruit either staff or consultants to support. That environment's a lot less expensive than to get support for a proprietary system.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, before I continue, we have been joined by Legislator Spreckman, and I also like to welcome a new member, a recently elected Legislator McCoy. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. And we'll get used to it really quick. Thank you. I understand, Mr. Chairman, that she's been appointed to serve in this committee. So welcome, and please feel free to join in.
Sit on this side, for example, if you want. Although it is first come, first serve.
Look, Mr. Harkham and...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question for you. We, at least since I've been here, we've run into this situation a few times where the platform is no longer supported and we had to buy an upgrade, sort of standard for the industry. But do we know how long, do we have some kind of a guarantee how long this incarnation will be supported? So, you know, we're not back here in 2 years saying, oh, you know, they're no longer supporting it, we have to upgrade again?
Well, Linux is a lot easier than the IBM environment, first of all, but our end of life on the servers tend to be about 4 or 5 years, and we have another capital project coming for the committee in the near future. Again, just to currently replace our current system, same way.
No, I know, but I'm talking about this new one. Do we have any idea how long this is going to be supported?
The hardware, the software, there's two components.
Well, both.
The hardware should last about 4 to 5 years.
Okay.
And the software, we get the maintenance, and then we just do major upgrades, what, every 4 to 5 years
right.
on that end.
Yeah, we went
to
this one in 2005, so it was 5 years.
All right, so you're thinking...
But that's what we tend to be 4 or 5 years.
And I was going to note that there isn't anything in our capital project schedule, 2014, so I guess it would reappear in 2015, if need be, right?
If need be, yes.
Good question. Mr. Rogowski,
thank you. That was my first question. The Oracle, the 900,000 to Oracle, now that's the software?
That's the database.
And is that annual?
What
is
no,
we purchase no. it? We purchase that, or is this a license? In what period of time is that? You threw out a number, 900,000. That's all you gave me.
It's a purchase price for the database, and then typically the maintenance runs about 20% of that annually.
Purchase price for your database, 20%.
They said about 650 is for the upgrade, then about 900 for the licenses. That comes in up at 1.5.
She said 900,000 is a license, but I'm trying to understand, are we renting that? Like we buy? Well, we just said that. She said we're buying it.
Oracle is the operating system.
Right, but we're buying it.
They're giving us a license to use their software. They're giving us a license to use their software.
So we don't, you know, I keep reading about, you know, this, cloud technology where we don't put anything in, we keep everything out there. Is this part of that? Why do we have to keep this software in our computers? Or can't? Why don't we do with the offsite?
No, we're keeping the financial system on site for sure. Resources on site.
Right. So we spend $600,000 to buy, and this license is good for how many years?
About $900,000.
It's good for how many years?
And then we have to pay annual maintenance on it.
So just as long as we stick with the
software. As long as we use it, yes. It's unfortunate. I'm not a fan of Oracle or Microsoft, but the devils that we have to deal with, unfortunately, for now.
Like the Oracle?
The software, the financial system, the CGI, the AMS system requires Oracle to run.
So they can charge us whatever they want then.
What's their competitor? SAP?
There's a lot. SAP is the Oracle. PeopleSoft is another one. And, and PeopleSoft has come up, and I mentioned to people that I know Nassau County went from the system we had, but they hadn't upgraded in about 20 years, and they went to Oracle PeopleSoft, and they have now have revealed that they have spent at least $25 million on their upgrade and still are not anywhere near done.
Wow.
And that's from speaking to Ed Eisenstein, who is the CIO over in Nassau County, and then his predecessor, Bob Checka. So
what requires Oracle?
The financial software requires Oracle as on the, underneath it to run.
I see.
As a foundational software.
The software that we picked requires Oracle.
Yes.
And, but you're satisfied that that's the way to go?
Well, I'm satisfied because I think to go out and purchase a whole new system and convert all the data that we have and look at all new hardware would be a heck of a lot more than $900,000. And I think in this fiscal times, you know, it's the prudent thing to do. It's the least expensive of other options.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the members for both committees, or otherwise a motion would be in order?
Move for budget.
Second.
I'll move for Public Works.
Second.
Oh, it's not on Public Works. Sorry.
No, it's not Public Works.
I removed my
vote. I have two agendas.
He set us up for that.
I know you did.
Well, not really.
Yes, you do.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes.
Great. Thank you.
Mary, this is the only item we're here for, right?
Yes. I thought there was something else, but I heard next week it'll be on. Yes.
All right. Thanks so much. Any concerns individually, people, okay. You could always call off. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, moving right along. Item ID number 3237, Bond Act RD004, Sprott Brookdale Closure.
Mr. Chair, would you please record me as affirmative for the last vote?
Yes, Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. And for the record, are you here for more than this item, Commissioner?
No, I think this is the only item.
This is the only item you have. All right, and this is an item that we requested some additional information from the administration. I provided that information.
It's Sprout.
It's Sprout.
Yeah, it's here.
All right.
It should be in everyone's
bed. Okay, it should be in
front. It is.
Oh, wow. Bring it all together. All right. This is an extensive project, Commissioner. For the record, introduce your company. And
this is Deputy Commissioner Lou Vitrone and Deputy Commissioner Jim Arnett. This is a project for a little over $6 million for the final closure of the Sprout Brook Asheville in the town of Cortland. As of October of last year, we concluded 25 years of putting ash in that Asheville. We have been capping the Asheville in certain stages.
That capping sounds so familiar these days.
So some of the caps were permanent, some were temporary over the years. Now this is the final closure. We have been doing the final shaping and elevations for all of the liner to be put on. After the liner is put on, there will be aggregate put on top of that liner. The slopes are very steep, so it's not really going to be planted with grass, except on the upper slope. That'll have grass and wildflowers. And then facing the residences, what we're going to do is we're going to have a mixture of compost, grass seed, and wildflower that we're going to shoot in there so that what they see is green on that side. So when we're finished, we'll still have to monitor the landfill for 30 years, all the leachate.
Wow.
The leachate goes to the Peekskill Wastewater Treatment Plant. So this is really for the construction and the monitoring for the final closure.
Mr. Burr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I attended the closure ceremonies back in October, and it was a fair amount of celebration by a very small number of people because it was in the middle of the afternoon. But nevertheless, there's a lot of relief that the truck traffic will not be going there anymore, and some concern about the steep slope on that one side facing the residences. You say you're going to do the the compost and the wildflower, and it's just the stuff where you hose it along, right?
Yeah,
from a distance.
Hydro-seeded.
That's the right word, yes. I get confused with hydro-fracking, which is a different thing that we're doing these days.
Or we're not doing these days.
Legislator Myers reminds me. I've done that on relatively flat surfaces in my day, and half the time it washes away, and you never see any benefit to it. How do you think we're going to be able to, how we're going to do with that? Are we just going to keep going back until we get it right?
Well, I think, you know, we've had some test patches that we've done, and they seem to hold up, and they seem to come back year after year. That's not to say that we might have to go up there, and as part of our maintenance, just, you know, throw some seeds and wildflower there, you know, as we're doing our regular maintenance and monitoring, because we're still going to have a presence at the Asheville.
What's our presence besides just monitoring it for security?
Well, yeah, just monitoring security.
Oh, okay.
That's really it. A little bit of maintenance. We have some areas that we have to mow and keep up, so there will be a 2- or 3-person crew there just to take care of those items.
The slope that you're going to see there when you're finished, compare that to the Croton Point landfill. Obviously, Sproutbrook is steeper, but how much steeper? I'm not asking for percentages, but I mean, is it slightly, majorly, completely vertical?
Well, if one is like this, you know, the other one's more like that, so maybe half of the slope. Sproutbrook being the steeper slope, yes.
Okay. It is a matter of considerable concern. The community has been very tolerant in a lot of respects, and sometimes somewhat intolerant of the period of time down through the years. So I would hope we'd be responsive if the community feels that the coverage is not particularly good or attractive or whatever. I mean, we're not going to change blue violets to pink violets or something like that. But in terms of actually keeping up the coverage and the visibility of it,
I think we're committed to that. The main coverage and what keeps the liner in place is the rock ballast. That's your main item that keeps everything in place, and that will not move. And it's just a matter of a little bit of maintenance to keep up the seating.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have Mr. Harkin and then Mr. Ness.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, DEC requires that they monitor the whole thing for 30 years, so they'll be out there. Couple quickies. Just want to thank the administration and our fiscal staff. The Environment Committee submitted a bunch of questions at the last meeting, and thank you for the answers. The question I had is, you were talking about leach water going to the Peekskill wastewater treatment plant. Getting back to hydrofracking, one of the things that we learned in our discussions there was that the leach water can't be treated by conventional wastewater systems. Are we confident that what is leaching out of the ash pit can be treated with conventional treatment at the Peekskill wastewater plant?
Yes, we are. We've been doing it for the past 20-some-odd years.
Okay.
We've been going there. We monitor it regularly. The DEC gets the results as well as our health department. And as a matter of fact, we should be getting, once the cap is on, there'll be less rainwater to get in there, so actually there'll be less leachate.
All right, so we're not talking about unknown chemicals that aren't?
No.
Okay, thanks. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, we own the pit, right? This is ours. We're going to maintain the response with RESCO. Not involved in this piece of it.
No, this
right.
is county wastewater property.
So over the years, we've closed different cells, right? Now I'm going to tell you, we've closed the last cell, and now we're capping the whole thing? Is that, I mean, what's that $6 million? Is it just the next cell, the $6 million, or is it some larger
Well,
operation?
It's some of the cells that had a temporary liner on it. Rather than pull the old liner off and incur all of those costs, the DEC is allowing us to just go over the top of those. So I think it's cell 3A, 3B, and 4 will receive this final cap.
Okay, so it's a closure and then the final cap. I guess overall, Mr. Chair, my question is, it's more of an environmental question. The EIS was done, as I see, back in 1981. That's 30 years ago. That's when it was finished. Probably started prior to that. And again, it's not a criticism, I'm just trying to, you know, EIS done 30 years ago, we've used that EIS, gather over the 30 years as we've done each of these closures, both on the regulatory side, I assume we have no choice, whatever DEC's done over the last 30 years, I presume we're keeping up with those changes. Even on the technology side, I guess without, I don't see it here, so I assume the way it's drafted by the planning department, we just said we have a 1981 EIS that covers this, so no further action. I guess my concern would be that 30 years later, we're finally coming to the final closure. As you say, just this last thing, we're capping 3 and 4. Wouldn't have made sense, and just for overall purposes, to take a look at that final EIS and say 30 years later, do we need, whether it's a change in technology or just the monitoring is done, I understand, but just to make sure, I mean, were we that great? Because I have experience with EISs that 30 years later, the world has changed, and I'm just concerned that no one even took a look. It sounds like we have a document on the shelf, it covers it, let's move on. And my concern, Mr. Chairman, is just, you know, just to dot all the I's and cross the T's, I'd feel more comfortable if there was a 4-paragraph report said, you know, we looked at that 81 EIS and, wow, we did a great job back then. We covered all the issues, nothing to adopt, nothing to change. And so I'm just a little concerned that unless that was done and it's not here, I mean, hopefully the planning department did go back and pull out that last chapter and read it and say that. So I just don't know. I don't know if you know. Did you know if they did any additional work?
I don't know if the planning department did more than, you know, look at, they looked at that, they looked at the current regulations. But I will say that, yes, technology has advanced. Mm-hmm. The liner material has gotten better. So that's a consideration. And also, some of the updates in technology and how we do things will be in the final closure report that goes to the DEC, which will include our operation and maintenance. It has to be approved by the DEC for the next 30 years. So I think, you know, that kind of wraps it all up and gives us like, our plan going forward.
Yeah, and I'm sure, but like impacts like Mr. Burt was talking about, I mean, if you look at it, there might be, as you're doing this final capping now, if someone really looked through all the literature, and cause this is a decision unless there's just one way to cap this with one type of technology, and, you know, just one way, that the EIS or a supplement or just some update might say there are a couple of options to help drive the decision makers, which is the best way to go technology and environmentally. And I just feel a little bit, we may not have all the information that we might have to help you make the best possible decision. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think, you know, our design engineers use the latest technology in looking at a capping system. Because it does have to be capped. And I think the DEC regulations as far as bottom liners and top liners, like you said, have changed over the years. And as we've progressed, we've taken those into account and also looked at the technology to give us the best liner. For instance, you know, at Croton, what they have capping it over the top of the liner is a lot of clean fill that you can grow things on. Well, for ash, you can't really, there's nothing that will grow there, number one. And the slopes for an ash liner, because it's so stable, once it sets up, it's almost like concrete. It's really not going anywhere. So they use different types of ballast for that, the stone and the size of the stone. And that's really what a capping system is.
Okay, but I'm not looking to hold it up, but just, I see some 30 years, just the direction to the planning department. Just give us some sense of satisfaction that they at least went back and read it. And you know, but you're right. This is an area where there's so much regulatory and compliance issues that you are looking at technology. And so you're, with or without that analysis, I guess you're doing the best, you know, presumably the best you can. But I'm just a little, there should have been just a little sign off. We've double-checked this 81 report. But I'll go with it. Pete, I don't know if you know.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just want to pose one question to you. I have a little bit of experience with this, and generally sometimes the DEC will, and my question to you is, did they do this? Sometimes they'll give you multiple options, as A being the most effective and always the most expensive capping system, B is sometimes not as effective, and of course a little less expensive, and a C option, which is the least effective but acceptable to the DEC, and it's always, you know, the least costly in that regard. Was an option given to you at all? And I'm just curious.
I don't think an option was given to us. I think what we did is we presented our best option okay. to the DEC and got their approval on, yes, this option's acceptable.
Acceptable.
Now.
Okay, thank you.
This item is in both committees, so a motion is in order of members of both committees.
I'll move for budget.
I'll move for public works.
Second for budget.
Second for public works. For both committees, all in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Commissioner, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving right along. Items 3 and 4 on the budget agenda, that become 2 and 3 on the public works agenda, and the generic numbers being 3112 and 3111. Bond Act, I mean, CBA, BP, I'm trying to get to that. BPL 21 water quality improvement. And from the administration, who was here?
Good morning.
Good morning.
David Kavinga from the Department of Planning.
And Rob Dosher.
Rob Dosher.
Welcome. And you're here for the 5 and 6 items also, or somebody else is?
Which ones are 5 and 7? We were at BPL 21 and
Stormwater Management.
21 and 23.
And 23, yes.
We're on 21. Okay.
3 bank restoration along the county, the Bronx River at the county center. Currently, we're working on a similar project just on the, actually along the west side. And here's the county center, the old parking lot before it was reconfigured, and Tarrytown Road here. We're currently working with the Army Corps of Engineers on a stabilization project on the west side of the river. And this project will fund a similar project on the east side of the stream bank there. We did receive grant funding, a 50% match from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to fund this project, and it will be similar to some of the other stream bank restoration projects that we've done throughout the county, benefiting water quality and to some extent flood management. It will better manage stormwater management and help protect the stream banks and some of the county infrastructure, including the bridge to the parking area at the county center.
And in relation I met on this, so I've been looking at it, to what we did with the county center parking.
Yes, actually, we'll be able to, since the county center parking lot, if you remember, had a number of stormwater projects incorporated with that. This will kind of finish off a couple of those. It'll be located basically adjacent to a couple of those stormwater wet basins that were created as part of that project. We'll be doing some educational signage, but primarily focusing on the stream bank restoration as a component to that. Yes. Yeah, the outfalls from some of those stormwater outfalls actually will discharge through this site. Right in that area.
Naturally and hopefully clean, in a cleaner way.
Oh yes, much, much, much better. Yes, the county does take credit for these types of projects towards meeting its MS4, the Phase 2 stormwater permit requirements. So we do get credit for that towards those. And the DEC actually really liked that county center project for demonstrating a variety of stormwater practices. We will continue to expand that variety of practices and techniques through this project at one location where somebody can come and see a variety of different practices. They like that stormwater park or demonstration area concept.
Members for both committees.
I would just mention, if I may, that this is something that the Flood Action Task Force has been. Obviously involved with and interested in, because this does act as a real model. A lot of the municipalities have been told to come over and look at this for ideas for their own municipal parking lots and their own, you know, open spaces that could be used. I mean, this is stormwater management, but it's also, it's water quality, but it's also flood mitigation.
Mr. Agashi.
Yeah, so I mean, so usually just approve these things perfunctorily, because they sound so good. But could you just, again, for the record, we're restoring some eroded stream bank, restoring riparian buffer, freshwater. Can you maybe just quantify for the record the actual real benefits? I mean, what actually, the improvements, is it flood related? Is it water quality related? And just how is it, in fact, I mean, this $350,000 as opposed to just letting it do what it's doing now, quantify the actual improvements for us if you can.
I'll let Rob give a couple of numbers, but just to kind of touch on some of those issue areas. Most of our projects, just because of the scale of the projects, they're not huge. We're not going to solve any flooding through something like this and in the location. We primarily try and address the site-related issues, such as the stormwater runoff from the parking area, and also demonstrate, and this is really the most important part, is to demonstrate the techniques to try and make them or facilitate the replication of those techniques, the incorporation of them into ordinances and at the local level. And that's really where we intend to see the impact, is through the replication of these projects as demonstration, although they do have quantifiable benefits.
Based on past studies, we know what these benefits are going to achieve. We can't quantify this site-specific, but based on previous studies, we know generally what the percentages are removable, and it's about 80 or 90% removal rates for a project like this from stormwater runoff.
Well, now, when we did the parking lot, as mm-hmm. you just mentioned, the last couple of years, and it was very effective, looked good. I thought, didn't that project incorporate stormwater runoff quality improvements?
I mean, yes, it did. Yes, it did. And that will address most of the runoff from the parking area itself.
Okay.
This, because it's located in the river bank, will address water quality runoff front within the river column, so coming from up in other areas.
I see. Just the surface water just coming off the
surface water. There are a number of you can almost see them on the plan here. There are outfalls from Central Avenue and Perrytown Road.
Flooding.
So there are the Bronx River. The county it is a spine. Unfortunately, we receive everybody's stormwater runoff. All the municipalities, the 14 municipalities in the watershed, all discharge to the Bronx River. So there is a lot of pollution, a lot of floatable pollution, soluble pollution. This will help to address a lot of that. In addition to restoring the habitat along the stream, this will improve the water quality in the Bronx River itself.
It's important to note,
and this impacts Eastchester.
Right.
I mean, I think right below that it is Eastchester.
There's a tributary that comes out here. It's in pipe for most of its length, and then it finally emerges right here, and that's draining White Plains Railroad Station, all that area up there, and it finally discharges here and has created this wetland in here. So we're going to create a stormwater wetland in here to kind of treat some of that runoff as it comes out. So that's untreated, and it's untreated by our parking lot improvements too, because it's underground. So we're finally going to have an opportunity to do that.
All right. Well, I think that's important. And I think the point you made before, David, is we talk about preparing model codes and ordinances to help. What you're saying is, in effect, I mean, for $350,000, we're creating a situation where it has the functional equivalent, as you said, of a model ordinance. This is other municipalities can look. It does work. You do this, and this is how you do it.
If you could get 45 municipalities doing something like this in their municipal parking lots.
Well, that's what I think. But we have to explain why we're spending $350,000. I think that's, that seems like part of the record. Plus, it's beyond what we did spend on the parking lot itself.
Parking
was very expensive.
Right. Okay. No, I just think it's important to get all that out on the record.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Agashi. If there are not any other comments or questions, the motions are for both committees.
Move for Public Works.
Second.
Second for Budget, right, Mr. Harkin? And second, for Public Works. You have that? May for both committees. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks so much.
This is both
right along.
we remain in place for the second two items. Items 5 and 4 and 4 and 5 on the Public Works Park Labor and Transportation Agenda, 3110 and 3109, and this is Stormwater Management.
Yes, thank you very much. This is being this is actually a very similar project located at Scout Field Park, again within the Bronx River watershed. The project here is to address, I can give you a little bit of an orientation here. Here's the existing Boy Scout cabin and the existing ball field. Adjacent to the ball field, just adjacent to the ball field, is this long kind of, it almost looks like a canal, or it's a very substantial trench. At the mouth, or at the top of the trench, are two large stormwater pipes that discharge stormwater runoff from Bronxville. And they're bit 1 to 72 inch and a 36 inch. And these things really, really flow when there's a lot of water rainfall event. The project will address that runoff in a couple of ways. We're going to try and slow it down, which will have some flood mitigation benefits, and we will also capture a portion of the runoff and treat it in a stormwater wetland. So here you see a plan that shows that stormwater wetland. There's kind of a low area in there now, and we will continue. We'll just basically be doing some minor grading modifications, a lot of vegetation removal to direct water into that, and then do some modifications within this large trench area to slow the water down and direct some of that water into the stormwater wetland. This project was funded. You'll see the difference in the funding costs. Again, this is also funded through a grant from National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. At the time we applied for the grant, the maximum was $250,000 for grant application. As with the county center, they then upped it to $350,000. That's why we got the $350,000 for the county center project. This one was only limited to the $250,000 at that time.
All right, and that is what we would be getting, right?
Yes. Yes, we're seeking the $300,000 match, county match, for the $250,000 in funding.
But we had anticipated that it would be $400,000 in the capital projection.
Yeah, we had been putting in the appropriations annually about $400,000 for the stormwater projects like this in under BPL 23. But we haven't used all of that funding. I think there's still about $1 million left in appropriations.
And BPL 23, and that request would continue for the next couple of years because this is an ongoing.
The BPL 21 we closed out. Actually, I think this county center project was one of the last projects under BPL 21.
I noticed there's no more anticipation.
And then the BPL 23 was created to continue some of those projects with a specific emphasis on addressing stormwater management, again to as a requirement of the MS4 and the stormwater permit.
So this request is $100,000 less than anticipated.
Yes.
Members, again, worthwhile project. Sorry, guys.
Here's one question. Just on the capital budget amendment, so we're up at $250,000, but that's non-county share. That's the
correct. That's the CBA is right. Just to accept the grant funding.
Right.
Yes.
I want to ask you, there is, this evening we would be voting on the last piece of the, and I know planning has been, well, not you specifically, on the Putnam Right-of-Way final piece of the puzzle, if you will. There is another path that goes to Scout Field.
That's the Bronx River one.
No. The Bronx River one. What is it called? There is another fancy name for it. The Bronx
not Gateway.
Continental or something.
Colonial Greenway?
No, that's not.
They
got some
other
things.
Yeah, I'd have to ask
Dave. Right. No. The reason why I'm asking is because when you mentioned Scout Field and what you're doing there and this path having another link
that needs to be completed?
We are working very, in all these projects that involve parks, we work very closely, hand-in-hand with park staff. Mm-hmm. And this project does involve a pathway or a pathway reconstruction basically around the project site, but through the park. Yes, we can make these plans available to you if you'd like to see them. Actually, if you want.
Yeah, no, I just want to know what it's called, because I
the Greenway or Beltway, whatever the heck it is. But Ms. Chairman, just on that point, the issue with that, because we get several emails from Michael Oliva about this particular item, about the item, and the issue is not with the county. The county has reserved money for this particular project years ago for the Bronx River Trailway bike path or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And the issue is really between the city. It's really at the city of Yonkers, where Yonkers has to have funds for their part of the capital project to do that. So in speaking and following up with Commissioner Stout on that particular item with the trailway, as you've been mentioning, mm-hmm. that was the issue. That it's not the county's issue. We're ready to roll, right? And there was some federal matching dollars that they was suggesting that we might lose, et cetera. So.
And if I think correctly, because I mean these pathways are an amazing thing, you know, to go through the whole county, get into Putnam, and it's sort of a dream come true. But I'm thinking of the location, and this is the closest area where now that we would go up to Runyon Heights area, that these two paths can be connected and maybe switch from one to the other in that area, right?
The only east-west that was considered was up at Eastview, if I remember correctly, right, was that by, it's Eastview, mm-hmm. right? Eastview is where the east-west combination is. Down on the southern part of the trailways, there is not a connection at this point in time between the South County Trailway and the Bronx River Trailway.
Yeah, maybe not a normal trail, but some kind of street route or something that could make us jump, because we also have the other one would be the what is it called, the trail that goes not by the river, but because we have Riverwalk, then we have the State Trail,
the aqueduct,
right, and then comes the Putnam right away,
right,
and this other one,
the Bronx River Trailway, and then on the Sound Shore is whatever we call it, the one on the Sound Shore side, the bike trail on the Sound Shore trail, which is part of that big trail that you're talking about that goes from New York City all the way.
Yeah, US
One. But that actually is on the road.
All right.
That's roadway.
Right. I just wanted to check, because everything needs to be connected through planning. We cannot maybe destroy an area in anticipation that these trails may actually become a reality for utilization, and not taking those constructions or adjustments into account. Mm-hmm. Members, on the items 3109 and 3110, a motion is ordered for both committees.
Budget.
For budget, Ms. Breckman.
Second.
And for public works.
Motion.
Okay, moved by Ms. Williams.
Second.
Second by Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Gentlemen, thank you.
And thank you very much.
See you later.
We also have minutes for budget and appropriations. Whenever you're ready, members, a motion would be in order.
So move with the changes.
Move with changes. Second by Mr. Jenkins.
Mr. Chairman, also, could we also, in consideration, receive and file items 1, 2, and 36?
Okay, items 1, 2, and 36.
We did the retirement incentives. And 36 is a letter from the Department of Health contract, which was done a couple of months ago.
For nothing. I mean, Monday. All right. June 20th. This one is the one that should be there. But yes.
All right. Any on those items to be received and filed, any comments or questions? Otherwise, that was your motion, right?
36. 36 is a letter from regarding a Department of Health contract, which was done, I think, 3 months ago. So
we
didn't do that. It was a ANC item that was done.
Don't we have 3273 still?
Yes, you do.
Yes, we do.
So what are you talking about?
There are items to receive and file that Chairman Jenkins moved.
1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah.
All right, motion by Mr. Jenkins.
Second.
Taken by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, then with the minutes, take me back. You moved it
with
changes.
And someone second, we move forward.
Yeah.
All right, on the minutes, second, all in favor?
All right.
Tuesday or Thursday.
Oh, yes.
All right, with changes. We have, as a matter started, amending Act Number 41-2010. Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you.
3273, I'm sorry, I didn't notice you were having another conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular item...
If I may, so that I can dismiss the staff, motion to adjourn public works.
So moved.
Okay, moved on. Second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, public works, parks, labor, and transportation is adjourned.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular item is a modification of Act Number 412010, which you know is in law at this point in time, which is enacted at this point in time. As a result of the opt-in that we did to the state retirement system, with consideration to make this modification. Setting the bar and continuing that bar at a 30-year period. You can see in the legislation, the underlined area for the piece of legislation, I apologize, it doesn't have page numbers, but it looks to be the actual act, the second page of the actual act in the flow chart of contributions that this particular group of individuals that is being modified and added would contribute whatever percentage they're supposed to based on their active status. However, if they retire as a result, and specifically as a result of our opting into the state retirement incentive, which is Chapter 105 of the laws of 2010, and they have at least 30 years of service in the New York State retirement system, that they would be grandfathered just as the box above it is. So basically, that means that person would have to be off of the payroll and retired by December 31st. However, as long as they are on the payroll, and they're non-represented, they will contribute whatever amounts they're supposed to contribute, consistent with what we did previous to that. The fiscal impact statement, we had the fiscal impact statement that was completed. The total current year would be a revenue potential reduction. It's not really a cost. It's actually a revenue that we might receive from those individuals that are non-represented management. The low end is $2,800, and the high end is $8,200. I believe that the total numbers of employees are, there are six people that were non-represented management in the voluntary separation plan who withdrew their paperwork and have now opted into the New York State plan that would be eligible under this modification. In addition, there's another 14 individuals who could qualify for the plan. From those 14, seven have less than 55 years old and therefore unlikely to retire, including two people on our floor who are not retiring in this particular incentive. So the high number is really a high number. The low number is probably accurate with the six individuals that we know of, but the high end is $8,200 for this particular modification. The impact is not only negligible, it is so small to be minuscule, and to do to be consistent with what we did in our law when we first passed this, because we were not in the state retirement system, I would put this particular item in on the floor for discussion.
All
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members?
Yes, Mr. Sergeant.
Yeah, it's a little confused. I'm trying to follow this. When we had a special meeting to change the law, we moved dates around. I thought we were concerned about people, if you will, taking advantage of both. We specifically amended the date, put July 2nd in there, right, saying, oh, you have until June 30th.
Right.
If you want to retire under our plan and preserve your sick days and your health care, or just stay in the system and maybe or maybe not retire in the state. So are we going back? I'm just trying to understand what are we doing?
No, we're doing in this, and no, we're not changing the dates. All we're doing is we're making this particular law consistent with what we did for 30 years of service inside of Westchester County, and basically saying it's 30 years inside of the state retirement system. The real work was done to do the analysis to determine how many people. We had several individuals. This was the result of an employee that sent correspondence to the administration and to us, and said, hey, you know what, I've got 30-something years inside of the system. I've worked for Westchester County 20 of those years, but the person sitting next to me has 30 years. I've got 30 years in the retirement system, and I'm not concerned about the sick days, and I will pay for health insurance as long as I'm an active employee, but to be consistent on what we did for the 30-year and higher employee, which was part of the negotiation that we had with the administration to add in that 30-year bar, that this would be consistent.
So on that sheet with the 10, you said the one above, it's 10% except those who have over 30 years of service with the county as of December 31st.
Yeah.
That was it.
And retire after the effective date. So
right,
they had to be off the pay, they had to leave county service by December 31st. Under the voluntary separation plan,
they're going to pay 10%. Oh, no, it's except those. So they're going to pay zero.
When they retire.
So now we're just, is it the only difference is between those who had some time in the service but not with the county?
That's correct.
They had worked someplace else in the system, but not, we had covered people who worked for the county for 30 years.
That's correct.
And we let them go out, and now we want so to be consistent. Someone who has 30 years, but not with the county, but they feel fairness, they've got 30 years in the system, they should be treated the same.
Yep, and that's basically
And does the administration support this?
The administration says that they have some levels of concern about this for their bargaining, because they think that this may have something to do with bargaining. But quite frankly, we already have this language in our law. So I'm not sure, and speaking to some members of the administration about that, I'm not quite sure and grasping that concept, since we already have this 30-year.
Well, I can understand to be consistent for what we did.
That's correct.
But we wanted to be consistent, but I can't recall if the administration didn't support what we did the first time around.
No, the administration actually had a 30-year exemption for everyone for health contributions,
okay,
if you call to pay or not
so
pay.
So they did support them, I don't ask you to answer that, but I mean, does she have some idea of...
I don't think we have anybody.
Katie's here, but just again, not to speak for them, just in having the conversation with Mr. Oros earlier this morning and asking him, again, since we did send them this information when we got the final fiscal impact statement, which was not until late on Friday afternoon, that his concern expressed by the administration was they thought it might be some consistency issues when they are doing their levels of negotiation. And again, as I've just stated, it's not different than what we already had enacted in the law.
Right. We just sort of missed. You said we have 30 years here, we missed 30 years over here, we want to be consistent.
That's the way I understand it. And again, when you try to rush through this, and this is the way I presented whatever amendments we had made on this particular issue, is you always miss a little something. It's not, as Mr. Jenkins says, significantly monetary, but it affects those few individuals that we did not want to affect. And this is a correction.
But it should be helpful, you know, on the record, you know, someone from the administration, because again, in the spirit of trying to work with the administration, if there's a difference, you know, if they, I would really like to understand what that difference is, so we can kind of just see, agree to disagree, or
maybe
somehow this sounds logical for proposing to make it consistent. I mean, it sounds something we should do, but if they didn't completely support what we did the first time around to make what we're doing consistent, if that's the basis why they're not supporting, or is it fiscal impact or whatever, but it'd be nice to know exactly, not through you, because you hear, you know, you from the administration exactly what the point is, so we...
Maybe Ms. Peckman can bring some light.
I can't really bring some light. All I know is I see these papers here now, okay? Without Friday night, not Saturday, not Sunday, we're here in this room now. I don't feel that I have enough time. I will let you know after my caucus, okay? And we discuss this. If there is a fiscal impact, and I don't think it's right, I'm not going to support it, okay? But I'd like to know more about it and hear more about it, so I will walk it until I get further here. Thank you.
All right.
Do we have anyone from the administration who can explain this?
Well, Mr. Chair, the timing issue, I mean, to be fair, you know, to everyone, if, and I know, you know, we're into July now, so I'm not sure the time is,
yeah.
We meet August 9th. I mean, is there time to do this on August 9th? Is this something we need to do now? I mean,
the reason that is being presented now.
It's till December 31st.
I'm sorry?
Isn't it till December 31st?
Part A of our retirement incentive is over on August 16th. So what happens is, in order for those people that may want to consider that from the Part A portion of the retirement incentive that we enacted, and in order to make sure that those people leave by August 16th, that we do have a time constraint on this particular issue.
All right, Ms. Peckman said she would wipe it. If you're uncomfortable with this item, people, you can always sign it without prejudice. I would accept your motion on this, Mr. Jenkins.
So wait, there's somebody over here.
I can get George.
No, we. I think the caucuses haven't come together, so we'll leave it at that.
I mean, if I may, Mr. Chair, to Legislator Rogowski's point, if we can get the administration now, let's see if we can just answer the question now, and if we can answer everyone's questions now, then we're done with.
All right. If it could be down here within the next 5 minutes, I don't mind.
Can he come down?
But if it's not,
Katie's
going to
call him right now.
Katie, if he's available within 5 minutes, otherwise, I think
I think
what's going on the record?
Right.
Mr. Jenkins,
it's not our plan, so I have to explain.
We want to know what is.
I shared with the group, as far as that the administration had a concern because of the inconsistencies in the templates that they thought. Unless you want to share more about it, that's
what are we talking about? We're talking about
the health. We're talking about
health. Oh, that. Okay. Yes. Okay. So make sure that's all right. Yes, we have that concern. We are opposed to this. We believe it begins to chip away at what was laid out as opportunities for people to leave voluntarily. And, of course, we're obviously concerned whatever pattern we set with non-represented can be utilized when we sit down with our negotiations with our representative personnel. So.
Yeah, go to Marty.
Okay, sure.
So, okay, because I'm trying to understand myself. We apparently, in the law we passed, we provided an exemption for people who have 30 years, I guess, in the county system.
Correct.
Now, so you may not have, I don't know, I forget what your view on that was. You may have been, but what we are apparently doing now is trying to make that consistent.
The view on that was we put something together that we felt we could get. If you recall, we worked very hard to get unanimous support from this board. Put something together to get it out there to facilitate as many people as possible leaving voluntarily.
Okay, but so we did that.
Correct.
And now we're being advised that there are a relatively small number of people who have 30 years in the retirement system here, but not all of Westchester County. So I said that, and so what I guess we're being asked to just kind of, on another level of fairness, if some people have 30 years in and have one opportunity, we should grant that same 30-year opportunity to everybody who qualifies. Another six or eight or
this 10 people. This is regarding the contribution to health care benefits. It has nothing to do with their ability to retire.
It's the cut.
This doesn't prevent one of them, any of them, from leaving.
But if you, is the issue that if you add the two together and you come up with over 30, then you don't have to pay any health care contribution for yourself?
If you leave with the state incentive,
yes,
you have 30 years with the county. My understanding of this is that until we reach some sort of agreement with the Teamsters Union, that they would be, those people are exempt from contributing to their health care contributions.
No, on this.
Oh, that's the voluntary separation.
That's the sick plan payout.
Sick plan. Okay, they are exempt from the contribution to their health care. If somebody's 30 years, but they didn't.
But not
you have to understand the county. Yeah, well, understand the health care is different. The state already has their employees. When you were a state employee, they're contributing to their health care costs. So, you know, here you have the county. As a county employee, you haven't had to contribute all these years. So we feel it's fair that only those for the 30 years be treated that way they're doing with the county, as opposed to somebody who has been in a different situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how does that affect your negotiations if we can only negotiate with county and not with state?
Because you still may have years of service enter into what you do with retirees that leave in terms of what they're going to contribute for health care. And you do have a lot of county employees who come from a municipality and then work for the county, or come from the state and work for the county.
And those are the few
people. I understand
people.
Different taxpayers have been paying for the health care benefits in those situations. Mm-hmm. When you're a state employee or in the state pension system, I mean, theoretically, we are paying for it, but it's lumped into a state program. Mm-hmm. With the county health benefits, only county taxpayers have been paying for that. So why take somebody who may have worked 10 or 15 years in a municipality or the state where our taxpayers weren't contributing and now give them the same kind of level playing field that somebody who was here for 30 years where they were getting 100% from the county taxpayer for the health care benefit?
Well,
yeah.
State, we've all contributed.
Anyway.
But I don't really understand. So your opposition, you being the administration, the spokesperson for the administration, your opposition to this is that people shouldn't be able to include their service for the state.
Or a municipality.
Well,
in other words, it can only be if you've worked for 30 years for the county.
I don't know that we're... First of all, this came up Friday, okay? But anyway, getting back to this is not our plan. So, again... What would your plan be? The plan is the one that we've adopted, that everybody has signed off on.
Which is saying 30 years county, period.
Right. Correct.
And this plan adds in if you've got other municipal.
Correct.
Right, and there are people that...
You contribute to this...
It only adds it for non-represented management. Every other county employee, which is 90% of the county workforce, if you retire, your health insurance currently will be paid for. So the only impact now is for non-represented management, and there's a universe of 20 people. Every other county employee that retires now will have their health insurance paid for.
That's correct.
Except non-represented management. So the majority of the county still has the benefit that Mr. Orles spoke about.
I see. So this is just for those non-represented. Mm-hmm. But the administration's point is that this is going to make it more difficult to work negotiate with the union.
Because when we get to the point where we sit down with the union, it may be more than 20 people, maybe 200 people.
But the union right now is they don't pay at all right
That's
now
correct.
For people.
But neither did non-represented up until a few months ago when this board and the executive got together on a package that required them to. And we're hoping the union will follow suit.
Yes, Ali.
The law that's already enacted already applies to non-represented management, and it already has the 30 years of county service. So this does not change the county service requirement. This only allows people to have the state service. And when the administration is negotiating with the unions, they're only going to be negotiating for what happens in Westchester County. They cannot negotiate state service or any other municipal service. So I don't see how that...
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily true.
How can the administration negotiate?
Because if you could make the contract say 30 years, whatever your pension time is. It doesn't have to say just county service. We would love it to be that way. But you've opened the door here. By if this legislation were to go through, now you've opened the door for the union to sit down and say, should be 30 years of service based on whatever I've got in the state pension. As opposed to when we sit down with the union and say, uh-uh. If you're a 30-year county employee, yeah, we'll take care of your health benefits. But if you came here from Eastchester or Pelham or New York State or Orange County, that time is there. You take your health care contributions up with those folks because you may have been contributing there. So why should you get a free ride now when you were contributing before? So for consistency's sake, we feel the plan that's in place now is the plan that should be there. And we start tinkering and chipping away at it and starts to fall like a house of cards.
Mr. Chairman, the other thing is that in the original negotiation, you recall, and we have documentation from this because it was at this part of the table, and Mr. Ross is correct that we tried to come up with a consensus with everyone building it. The administration had a bar at 30 years, and at the 30-year mark, no employee was going to have to pay for health insurance, active or non-active. And the members of this board said that they
You mean represented or non-represented?
No, non-represented. Just non-represented, that whether you were active or retirees, that you would be exempt. All right, thanks, Joe. Which one? That would be exempt.
Durst, thanks. Is that it? Yes. Okay. Because there is a meeting upstairs on it.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you for being
I know. I'm sorry. Is it ongoing?
It just started, and it came to drag me out.
All right, thank you. All right, we have a motion from Mr. Jenkins, and if you're uncomfortable with this item, you can vote no, or you can whop it. Either way is fine. I will be whopping it myself. I'll second Mr. Jenkins' motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
Okay. Thank you so much. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Clear?
I got to go upstairs.
Mr. Second, all in favor?
Aye. Can I just sign it?
Yes.
That was very well with the notes and everything.
Bill, please.